Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. Today with us, I have Hassan, but also a lady has decided to join us.
Ram.
A wild ram.
Yeah.
You might not see me next week, but I'm here today.
And also, we are joined by Four Eyes once again, and they are represented by a Mr. Manny.
Hello, everybody.
And a Miss Toots.
Hi, guys.
How are you guys? You okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Good. Lovely great. Stuff.
Clocked out of work.
Obviously, they joined us a couple of episodes for our quiz, but you know, we enjoyed their company so much before. Why not get them on for a proper episode? And today we are going to be reviewing, as Hassan was it, LDR2. Or Love, Death, and Robots 2. Do you know what? I'm not going to lie, Hassan. He must have abbreviated it in the chat, and I just was like, yeah, okay. Like, I didn't know.
I'm not going to lie. It was like right before I was about to go to bed, and I was like, well, if you're not going to ask, I'm going to ask, because I don't know what that means.
I kind of got what you were saying, so I thought, yeah.
But yeah, so in my defense, guys, we knew what the episode was.
Yeah, no, that's why I got it. I was like, I got what you meant, but I didn't actually.
No, but I thought it was like a, you know, like a TDLR type, like, I don't know, some kind of Tumblr acronym.
How late did you send the message to Sam? That might have contributed to the confusion. Never mind, I don't know about you guys.
I'll take the responsibility. I'm bad with acronyms, unless I'm using them. But so Love, Death, and Robots Season 2 dropped. I can't remember when it dropped, 21st of May. So we'll be talking a bit about it. Our favourite episodes, our not-so-favourite episodes, and I guess exploring some of the themes in some of the episodes. But before that, we must do the mini interview. Not too many questions, guys, don't worry. You can both answer, or I don't know if you have similar answers or different answers, but, you know, let's start with you guys introducing each other. Or yourselves, or each other.
Sure. Oh, I'll introduce myself. Manny from the Four Eyes Academia. Things that people will know me by is that I am a Jehovah Witness.
Jehovah's Witness.
So anything to do with One Piece, apart from Abby, I'm literally the go-to. Is the thing that I love the most. Absolutely love it, and obviously the Splatoon Saturdays that me, Twitter, Abby mostly do every Saturdays. Probably, if not my favorite game, definitely one of my favorite games. I'm a lover of mostly manga, especially ones with darker themes. Even though we have an anime podcast, I don't really watch anime anymore.
Hey, I'm supposed to say it out loud. But he reads mangas.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can pretend like you watched the anime.
But when they start talking about voice actors and the soundtrack, like, yeah. Yeah, JJK had a great soundtrack. Oh, freaking idea.
Stop!
But, do you have anything you want to confess?
Well, actually, like, I was like Manny. Beginning of lockdown, but I've been back in my anime bag. Before I was strictly manga, but now I've been back in it, so I can't even relate to this guy anymore. I don't know what he's on. But yeah, I'm Tids. I'm Tids.exe everywhere online. That's a combination of a childhood nickname, shortening my name to Tids, and also a childhood obsession with the Mega Man Battle Network games, where every character had a .exe. What do you call it? What's the one at the end? Suffix?
Yeah.
Like, I knew you people are smart, you tell me. It's cool. I love manga as well, primarily. Mostly Jose and like Shoujo stuff. I've
big hands.
Like limited my battle shonen quota to like three. So like I follow One Piece, if you count it as a battle shonen. My Hero, even though my 100 chapters behind. And I didn't finish Shingeki no Kyojin because I saw the way you people were losing your minds. So I just read the spoilers and that was it. In terms of games, I love Nintendo, everything Nintendo since childhood. JRPGs are my my favorite kind of games. I love everything to do with a good story. And that crosses over like anime, books, games. So that's basically where my taste lies.
Nice. I'm having a bit of a problem with my JRPG. I was just moaning to Ram about this dumb game because I have to grind, and I was just moaning to Ram about grinding as an adult. It's like, you haven't got time, man, to sit there and just fight the same enemies again sometimes.
Yeah. Doing game chores.
We were actually talking about that recently. Like, it's the tedium of grinding I like. And everyone's just like, what's wrong with you? But I don't like the challenge of like a boss that just kicks my ass over and over again. I want to go back, level up, and then have at it again.
That's where I am right now. On the boss, the second ending of Bravely Default, because there's three apparently for some reason.
You're never going to finish that game, Levi.
I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to sit down and do it tonight. I have no choice. I need to get back to Resident Evil, man. Shout out One Piece, though. Love One Piece.
I was just going to say, like, I'm not going to hate you if you give up. I still love you, man.
I have a completion problem anyway. So if I start again...
You're not the only one.
Oh, please, please infect me because I will pick up a game. I'm already buying a new one.
It's not good, I'm telling you.
I used to be, but now rubbish.
Especially on a Switch as well, because it's portable. I'll just be like there, not realizing I'm just playing a game all the time, thinking I'm not because I'm sitting not in front of my TV. But yes, on to the actual first question. Tell us about the origin of the Four Eyes brand.
I actually don't remember the specific origins, but I think we were all in like the group chat and we were just like, hey, we have great opinions about like anime and games, at least we think we do. And like that was like at the advent of like everyone was doing a podcast, and it was that kind of era where it was just like back chat-esque kind of topics. It was like inundated the UK podcast scene. Like, what if you just inject some like nerdy shit into there? I think something along those lines. It was like in like our friendship group chat, and then like those of us who were actually about it kind of like migrated away, and then we started it for a minute. That was when the world was open. There was like five of us, but with lockdown and we saw how quickly people were able to adapt to just moving things online, we're like, what if we started the podcast up again for real? So we got more friends on board, and yeah, we've been doing that consistently since last June. But I think I don't remember what year we started the first time. Was it 2018? We did it for like a year, and then we stopped because just like other commitments. I personally stepped away because I started my master's and I was working as well, and I was just like, hey. And then a bunch of other people had other commitments, but then we started again in lockdown. So yeah, since June last year, it's nearly been 1 year since we've taken it really, really seriously.
Consistency is key.
Congratulations, by the way, and almost a year coming back.
Yeah, I didn't even realize until it's June 1st on my phone, but yeah.
It's weird. Sometimes you feel like you're just dragging along, and then you look back at your stuff that you've released, and you've been like, oh, we've managed to do this every week or every 2 weeks consistently. How did we do that? I feel like that every time I look at Art Library, I'm like, oh,
Queen and Slim was like episode 10 and it was episode 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So our next question. What has been the biggest obstacle for you guys?
I guess consistency sometimes, I would say, making sure that everybody is able to record an episode and make sure the episode is out on time and have the quality that we want it to. I think sometimes that has been an obstacle for us. It definitely was worse when we first doing it, and I feel like we improved quite a lot in regards to that area.
Yeah, I think we have like a rhythm going on now. I think there's like a threshold you pass where it's still like a hard slog to do it every week, and after a while you just fall into like a routine. So
it's one day you're like, okay, I'll just do it, it feels less of a chore. And I hear that. Okay, and on that note, what would you say would be your biggest victory?
Meeting me. You're welcome.
Thanks.
You're experiencing it right now.
Funny enough, saying that is probably one of our biggest victories, as in like meeting new people, regardless, either through the pod or through Twitch and just speaking to people online, and I guess building a very small community, just getting to know other people. Like as not specifically Hassan, it's probably one of the least.
Hey. I'm good. The best part is I edit, so I'm just gonna cut it to say specifically Hassan.
Voice over that, like specifically Hassan. my favorite friend in the whole
world. But really and truly, it's actually just being able to talk about things that you love with other people that love those things as well.
Yeah, just to reiterate that, I think this definitely, because when we're talking about these discussions, yeah, we have fun talking about these things, but to find out that people actually care, it's like, oh wow, people actually listen to us, and like we do our Twitch streams and people hop in, we play with these people, and they actually come back the next week and the week after that, and they're engaging in the Discord, and we actually have people who are like, know who Four Eyes are. That's really, really cool. Just a small, like, dedicated community we've like built up.
No, I hear that. Community is the there's nothing better than that, really. Yeah. Like knowing someone that like meeting someone that likes what you like, or especially when it's somebody you don't expect. But yeah.
Let's start a cult. Let's do it.
No, as long as I thought we had retired.
Let me get from there to there. Like, the leap.
Hassan and his cults, all his games, he's like, I've got a frog cult in Animal Crossing.
You, Hassan.
I've got this cult in this game.
Ares, I think.
It all comes together.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, right? I am the bridge for the community. Like, that is my purpose in life, to help people come together and just be the best person they can be for me.
When we finish recording, I need the birth time. I'm going to do some research. There's the darkness here.
Okay, so next question. Advice for anyone else who would want to start a podcast or just create content in general?
I would say just start it. If you're thinking about doing it, just do it. You're definitely going to make loads of mistakes at the start, and you just need to get a better understanding of what you can improve on, and just constantly look back at the stuff that you did, and then ideally you improve on it. Mm. But sitting around thinking about doing it is no use. You might just go ahead and do it.
Ooh, sounds an attack.
I hear that.
your YouTube channel, Tids.
Hey, I've recorded 3 videos, okay? Just haven't edited them yet.
Do you know what? YouTube's long, I hear that.
It's so long.
I hear that. I'm supposed to be playing Resident Evil 8.
I love editing. I hate filming and sitting down and filming. I wish I could just duplicate myself and film the video and then edit. I'd prefer to edit than film.
You need to become the blue dude from Invincible. Just have a clone.
I love those clones. I love those guys.
Yeah.
All right. My last two questions, very light ones. What is your favorite anime and your worst anime? We'll start with the best.
I have to pick one.
Yeah, pick one. Unless you can say, you like say a couple, I guess.
Okay, right off the bat, Legend of the Galactic Heroes, Baccano, Samurai Champloo, Cowboy Bebop.
Nice little cultured selection there, I'd say.
Oh my god, Brotherhood, Fullmetal Alchemist.
Oh yes.
Brotherhood. That one never changes. My top five kind of rotates, but that one's always on there.
I think my top, can it be a mix of manga anime? Because I do get those confused quite a lot. Like, for example, Kingdom is probably my favorite.
One Piece.
Kingdom, as much as I love One Piece, Kingdom,
man, you dancing around it.
my favorite is
really.
I absolutely love Kingdom. I don't subscribe to the fact that it has an anime. I don't believe it exists. it's fan made. It's definitely not realistic.
I tried to watch episode.
You must have watched something else. It wasn't Kingdom.
You never watched.
You must have been confused with something else. We watched Kingdom.
The Kingdom anime has never existed. Not in canon, anyways. So
it's like Dragon Ball GT.
I thought Dragon Ball GT was okay. I'm gonna say it.
I also think
Dragon Ball as a whole thing is garbage. That's a hot take of mine as well. Yeah, I said it.
You think GT is okay?
Yeah, so I'm looking at you. I said it on my chest. Actually, no. Let me be honest.
GT is okay, but Dragon Ball is garbage.
I like Dragon Ball itself.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the franchise as a whole. Z, okay. GT, Super. I think it's all kind of a bit spit.
GT's not included there, so what are you talking about?
It's a bit whatever, isn't it?
No, it's but the least I like GT more than most. What he said.
Oh my god.
I just feel Dragon Ball Z is kind of, I loved it as a child. I have loads of, but in hindsight, like, I watched Super and I was angry that, like, social media was trying to trick me into thinking this is good.
You know what it is? I love vibes too much, so Dragon Ball is always going to be a thing.
I think I watched like 5 episodes of Super. I was like, I can't do this.
Super's garbage. Hot, steaming garbage. Left out today.
Hold on, Manny. You were saying Kingdom and One Piece. What else you got?
Yeah, sorry.
Kingdom, so Kingdom, One Piece, and Berserk are my definite top three. And then I have Hunter x Hunter and Fullmetal Alchemist, not too far behind. But then I have other manga like Monster that I adore. And I'm recently started reading Vagabond, which
Vagabond is so good.
I had the big volume cover. Oh, I can't find it.
Oh, you got Yasumi Pimpin. When did you get that?
Oh, I got it on the day we done the podcast episode.
You bought it.
I ordered it during the recording.
His other alias is too. His other alias is too money man, because we have to make no kind of excuse to buy manga.
Yeah, it's a really bad habit.
No, it's better than most.
I definitely hear that way. All right, so what would you say is the worst anime? Apart from Kingdom, because that didn't exist.
That doesn't exist. Not including next arm.
Even crossed my mind. I've already wiped that from memory.
Because we watch X-Arm ironically and now, but
so fun.
To be fair, I think a lot of animes that I've actually watched have been good animes in general. Because I don't know, when I first started watching animes, not like I just randomly explored, or usually ones that people recommended, or I found like lists online and I've liked them to some degree. Like, I think Fruits Basket might be my least favorite anime that I've watched.
Fruits Basket.
I've read the manga. The manga's good.
Okay, okay, you even mentioned X-Arm. They just dropped a Fruits Basket. I'm like, it's okay though.
But yes, Fruits Basket. Sorry, but yeah, Fruits Basket is the first one that comes to mind. I'm pretty sure there's another one that I've.
I hope you get cancelled when this comes up.
My Fruits Basket is the first one that comes to mind. If I think of another one before Toots finishes, I'll let you know.
Well, everyone knows me and my backlog, so I don't really watch anime unless I know I'm going to like it. I can't think of one that I've disliked that I actually watched. But manga is a different story because when I was younger, I was more of a bookworm than I am now. I'd read anything, including manga. And there's one by Miki Aihara called Hot Gimmick. Which as a young teen, I was reading it and I couldn't finish it. And I was wondering, you know, when you don't have the vocabulary for how you feel about certain things, but as an adult, I now know that it's probably the lack of the blurred lines of consent and like toxic, the romanticization of like toxic, abusive relationships. Yeah. That's probably why I couldn't finish it as a 13-year-old. And I know that now. And it's just like, I've read other things she's made. And they're all so fucked up. Like anything Miki Aihara has made has been so weird. Like there's one about a relationship between a teacher and a student. Obviously the student's underage. There's one about a woman.
Sounds like something you was talking about.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. There's one about a woman. Yeah. There's one that's like a woman who's like in her late 20s. She has to get married and stuff. And she meets a monk. And it sounds really like interesting from the synopsis. And then you read it. And the guy's like the furthest thing from a monk that is he's like, he locks her up. Can't see your family. Can't talk to your friends. So why do you want to travel the world and be something like you're just a loser? Like he's just, and they kind of glamorize it. She was what so badly to impress him. And it's like, since she can't even make this believable. Like, so yeah. And yeah,
it sounds like the anime version of those Wattpad novels.
Yeah,
and those Netflix films like Kissing Booth and all of those. Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful gowns because the art is nice enough, but that's where it ends.
God, I hear that.
And I was like a young teenage girl reading this. And I was like, can't finish this for some reason. I put two on edge, and then I got older and I realized, oh yeah, that's why.
I feel like, do you know what, with animes, I do feel like a lot of the time you tend to watch ones that are recommended to you, so you don't.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the worst ones I watched was when I was just when Crunchyroll was free back in the day, and I was just
clicking
on random stuff in after school and stuff, and then just watching shit and being like, this is kind of rubbish, but I'd sit there and watch it all anyway.
I'm pretty sure.
Vampire Knight, looking at you.
I can't believe you would.
Which one?
Vampire Knight.
I never went on forums or anything. Spicy. I was young. My friend said to me, you know, watch Naruto. I was like, this is the best thing ever in my life. I was what, 14? And then someone said, watch Beats. So then I found out about this site and I'm clicking and I was like, oh, they got vampires. And I thought they were going to start fighting. And I literally sat there and just was watching it for time and thinking, all right, this is not my thing, but maybe they're going to start fighting eventually. And then I just was like, they're not going to start fighting, are they?
There's a couple of people I need to at. If you make a clip of this segment, there's a couple of people I need to at. Until I was like, sis, come get your juice. They're slandering Fruits Basket. Please get in here.
Firstly, I've got a lot of hot takes, and secondly, the vampire night was there was context. I think I was just that was my me learning. Not everything is shonen. So
the
vampire, maybe it's unfair, but
that was the fight.
It was the romance.
I look back now, and I really was like, why did I ever think they were ever gonna do anything other than like love each other and have weird drama and tension? It was the writing was on the wall. I don't know what I was thinking.
Can I say I think I lost the friendship over Sword Art Online.
I can imagine that.
It is.
Where do you stand on?
Wait, yeah, right? Yeah. That's what I was about to say. You might lose some more friends today.
Listen,
I don't think so. I feel like we've
talked about this a lot because I fucking hate it. It's really bad.
From the first season,
it's all bad. It's
when does the first season end?
People gassed the first season, but I never got into it.
I thought the first season was good. The second season's absolutely awful. But the first
I hate
good.
It from season from episode one.
Oh, and then no, episode two happened, that's a bit
and
much.
I was pissed. No, I was pissed. I was pissed.
I love this.
I was like, look, firstly, you don't understand games. This would be a terrible game. Secondly, you call this with a straight face. You look me in the eye and tell me this is a plot. Get fucked. Like, just no.
First of all, this is not a game. This is a comic book, guys.
It was one of the ones that had an interesting premise, but every episode you're like, they're not doing. Like there was some cool moments, but when they started doing the whole cheat code thing and the whole thing of you dying and you die in real life and then he died and then didn't die in real life, then you're just like, you've just defeated the whole purpose of the whole, and he didn't die because of willpower or something. I don't know.
Bullshit.
that kind of sounds like Order.
It does. Yeah. But it slaps with Order, does it? I like to
you. No, but like, you never think death.
The thing with Oda is, though, he creates stakes that make sense, and like it's you'll true. Have a reason why those characters have willpower. These characters aren't characters,
and it made no sense in the context of that. That is never established. It's clearly you die. This guy was just really good. He beat the developer of the game. How do you beat the guy that made the game? That doesn't make sense to me. By cheating.
Also, you spent your money. He won.
Oh god, I'm upset now. You've brought Sword Art back into my life. Oh my days.
Sorry.
But yeah, let's get on to the review. Love, Death and Robots. So as I said before, season two has dropped. Just some random trivia. I didn't do too much digging. Interestingly, all the episodes were based on short stories. The first season kind of the same, but there was a couple episodes that were originally like written for the show, but this season had all of them were based on short stories, short sci-fi stories. Obviously there was only 8 episodes, which was very upsetting for me personally, as opposed to the 18. I don't know if that's Netflix trying to do this, you know, these streaming platforms are trying to streamline their stuff, making it 8 episodes. I don't know, but
they tried to streamline it.
Oh god,
has very good. The very good life, very good.
Where's the tomato reaction?
Like, since we started, right, you make more puns. Like, it's in this like year that we've been like recording together, and I'm very proud of your growth.
You know what, I don't like the way that I say puns and don't realize I'm saying them, and then you're just like,
good.
So yeah, let's just jump. I don't really think we need to kind of do spoiler free and then spoiler. We can just go straight into your thoughts, what you liked, who you didn't like. We'll start with what you positive thoughts. We'll go Manny first.
Sure. As a whole,
generally,
I really liked it.
Yeah, as a whole,
I really liked it. Similar to the first volume. I think I just enjoy short stories, especially when they're not linked together. There's a specific art in regards to you being engaged for like 10, 11 minutes and coming to the end of the story and enjoying it. It's a different sort of gratification when you compare it to a long story or a long book or a long film, long TV series, or long episode, so on and so forth. So I think they've done it as a whole. They've done it really well. And it's definitely something I will recommend others to watch, especially if you have like a spare hour, just to bring something on for just for the sake of watching something passively.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You can watch this whole season in like a couple hours, to be fair.
Yeah, we watched it in the Discord, and like when we got to the end of the 8th episode, we were like,
yeah.
where's the next one?
Like we started from season one, we were so rattled. But yeah, similarly to Manny, it's that whole I'm quite resentful of the whole Netflix binge model. That's like the norm now, because like I already had a backlog and now it's just like I will never defeat it. I just have to accept it as a part of me now. And I kind of blame the kind of like model of putting up entire seasons at once. But I think for a platform like Netflix, these kind of anthology series are rare. It really serves it. And like again, it's just a really enjoyable experience. You can sit down in one spot and watch 8 episodes, and like it's still a really like fulfilling experience. You can take each story away with you. And of course, I think it feels kind of like pointless to say, but like the artwork was stunning. Really good art direction in all the episodes. It's top notch. Sound design was amazing as well. And even like, I guess we're going to talk more about specific episodes later, so I won't go into too much, but like even when initially I found the art style kind of like off-putting or jarring, as the episode developed, I found myself getting really like appreciating it for what it was and seeing how or why it was chosen for this specific story. So yeah, really nice.
Yeah. Ram, do you want to give your thoughts?
I always like short story stuff because I'm envious, because I feel like when I write, I should write more short stories, but they're just really hard to do. I thought that what I really like about Love, Death and Robots is kind of, I think that because sci-fi and like fantasy as like genres are so like, there's so much you can do, it's really amazing to me to see them like distill it into like one tiny story or like one tiny like concept and be able to kind of, even though sometimes there were some stories that I was like, I want a bit more, they still managed to kind of give you a foundation, I suppose. Again, I thought all the art styles were really interesting, though I think, well, that's in a con, but there was a lot more variation last season than this season, which I kind of missed. What else do I have to say about it? I thought it was good. That's what I got.
Yeah. Hassan, anything to add?
Mostly I'm just like nodding and going, this is exactly, I agree with all of you guys. This show, like, and anthologies like it really do justice to the scope of writing in genre, because like it is very easy to kind of go into fantasy and just read Lord of the Rings, like elves and men fighting dwarves, you know, like, and just be like, that's the scope of what fantasy can be. But like having these shows, especially with animation style, which could be like so subjective, it allows you to kind of push your boundaries without pushing the boat out too far for too long, so you can kind of dip your toe in and go, oh man, I would never have, like, if I knew this was like a full show, I would never have tried it, but now that I've seen it, and I can kind of have a litmus test to see how far I can push out the boat on my taste. And like, it was amazing, like absolutely amazing. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing them do more with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't really got much to add, but I do agree. I'm a really big fan of anthology stories of all genres, and just watching something. And even sometimes when I want to put something on, I'd rather watch a film than a show, because you get the whole story and that's that. Whereas if I start a show, I'm like, no, I'm going to have to come back when I just wanted to put something on right now. So that's why I really love the format. Like to have said, the animation, all of the styles, I love all animation anyway. I used to be like, I like really sharp CGI, hyper-realistic, Uncanny Valley, but they do different styles in a way that really makes you appreciate the effort that goes into them, whether it's stop motion or whatever have you. But yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I watched it again today, to be fair, like the whole season again. And I do want to go back and watch season 2. I will jump into my very minor negative, which I think Ram said already. I do feel like there was a bit less variation compared to the first season. It felt a lot of like CGI kind of, it felt like they tunneled more like the type of episodes they had, whereas if you go in back into season 1, you can see a lot more, like there was animated episodes in the first season, in the first volume, I think, like fully like cartoon, whereas this one just felt like a lot of it I was watching the same kind of. I only think of Tallgrass and
the Christmas one.
Yeah, that I can. Oh, and the ice one that were like different. The other ones kind of felt very same in their style, if you know what I mean, that hyper realistic sense. But
in fairness to that, that's almost half of the season. Those three episodes. It's only an 8-episode season.
That's true.
Season one was more than double that. Yeah. So there was like a lot more chance for them to do different things.
What's the issue with this season for me?
I saw like a lot of negativity like when the series first dropped, and I think it was because of like kind of comparing people's nostalgia of the first season to how little there was of this season comparatively. Mm. And it's like I watched season one yesterday and I watched season two again today. I don't sleep, so like and I was kind of comparing like the hit episodes, like the ones, not like kind of going like this is better than this. It was just kind of like a ratio kind of thing. And half of this season was phenomenal to me, and like the other half was really good still. But having like a 50-50 ratio is a much harder to do with 18 episodes. There was like in season one, there's episodes that I just really didn't enjoy. I was like, they're super cool, like super, super cool. But I was just like, this is just not my cup of tea. And it's like, they're throwing more spaghetti in the wall. So like statistically, they were gonna miss with some, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, when people kind of look back through rose tinted glasses, I'm like, go back and watch season one again. Just trust me. It's you're gonna still enjoy it, but like, you've forgotten that there were some duds because of how shockingly good the quality of the whole thing was.
Yeah, that's kind of a really good point, because I know we were also disappointed when we got to the end of the 8th episode, like, oh my gosh, that came so fast. But if the alternative to that is having a longer season where some of the episodes are just all right or you're not really a fan of, and having 8, like, overall, 8 episodes making an overall solid season, then I think, you know, some time to let it marinate, you'd prefer, like, a shorter, more solid season. So I wonder if that was the direction they were going with and why they made the season shorter, or whether it was like financially motivated. I don't know whether certain art styles are more expensive to animate. Or...
Yeah, some of these episodes must have been expensive.
Yeah, I remember watching the one with, I don't remember what it was called, but it was the one where the female character was modeled after that French actress, Zita Hanrio.
Oh, yes.
That looked expensive as hell. Like, for a while, it took a while for me to remember that this isn't animated. It's not her. It looked really expensive.
The last episode as well, I remember, because we were sitting there going, is this animated?
No, 100%.
Like, for the longest time, we was like, is this actually animated?
When the characters are cresting the hill, we were like, wait, that grass doesn't look a bit. That grass looks a bit. really visually stunning.
I'm not
going
to lie, in that episode, though, it was when I looked at the black people, then I was like, oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Kinks weren't quite, you know.
The crowd, and there was like 3 black people, and it just looked kind of weird.
They never get the complexion quite right. Yeah, so it's a bit too purple for my liking.
I think one of the reasons why it was such a short series, because 18 episodes is quite a lot. And I wonder if when the 18 episode dropped, Netflix looked at the analytics and realized that people are only watching 8 to 12 episodes at a time. Because we binged and watched 8 episodes, we wouldn't be able to binge 18.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if people that went and binged the series last 2 years ago, they stopped after like 10 episodes and then didn't
really went back.
So I wonder if that was put into consideration, because I think 8 episodes is fine, but because we got spoiled last time, we always expect a bit more. But I just do hope that the fact that they cut it by quite a few episodes, next we'll get another series in the next year rather than waiting 2 more years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I would probably prefer
that. I think also they worked with a lot of different studios, so I want, like, that must have been expensive for them to, like, I don't think any of the studios are the same for all of the stories, so that's probably expensive.
Manny, have you got anything any cons to add at all?
Nothing new that was brought up. Again, I didn't enjoy as many episodes as I did last time, but that's just simple for the fact that there weren't as many episodes. Like, I didn't dislike as many episodes this time around that I did last time around. I would have liked a bit more hand-drawn animation, because that's just a bit more of my preference. But I think overall it was fine. It's very hard to critique series like this when it's more about individual episodes rather than the series as a whole.
I hear that. Tids, anything to add before we actually get onto the episodes? Negative. Tids.
Nothing. I don't know if this counts as a negative, but there are definitely episodes that I definitely remember, and there's some that I have to like struggle a bit more to actually recollect what went on. And I don't know whether that's necessarily a critique of the plot of the episode, but more like I saw the art style and something subconsciously in me just wasn't here for it, so I wasn't really as fully engaged. Like that episode I just referenced with Zita Hanrio, I only remembered it so much because I like her as an actress and I watched her in something else on Netflix and I recognized her and I got really like geeked and I was like, oh my gosh, they really captured her likeness really well but still make it seem like fictional. Other than that, that episode, I can't tell you what the plot was because I think just generally the art style is not what I care for. I think I'm a bit like Manny in that sense where I prefer things that look more traditionally animated, like 2D animated. But I say but the episode of the giant was kind of like that art style, and I love that episode. So maybe I'm just lying.
That was a deep one, though, wasn't it?
No, that was kind of my con there. I think it kind of where some stuff felt like it was style over substance, or like the concept was bigger than the actual plot, which meant that you didn't really like stuff was happening. Like the Michael B. Jordan episode,
You have been waiting to say that. That is why you came here.
I watched that like four times and I still don't.
The fact that you had to say, I don't hate the man. He can't act
that well. He just has to curl his lip. Like. Okay.
I see this and everyone's like, oh, you just hate him. I don't hate him. I don't know him.
He's boring.
I stand by the fact that he was the worst actor in Black Panther. He put up the worst performance in Black Panther.
Auntie that said, hey, my Killmonger entered was a better actor.
Hold on, guys. We had Forrest Whitaker doing maybe the most racist like, how are we going to call out Michael B. Jordan when that happened in that movie?
Forrest Whitaker has more pros than cons overall.
Yeah, in his career.
They pay off. Sometimes the tokens pay off.
Forrest Whitaker is allowed because he's giving us so many great performances.
I honestly almost revoked his black card in my mind.
I ain't watched Creed, but I don't know anything about him.
Creed is actually... Creed is good.
And I refuse to watch the one where he got shot in the train station because that's traumatic.
That was
my favorite.
Who was good in that one? Fruit Girl Station.
That was a real performance, but
Black Panther, I wasn't here for it.
He's generally a good actor. I think he's a good actor, but he was awful Black Panther.
I just want to say, like, for someone who doesn't hate him, you bring a lot of hate about him.
Where's the hate?
No, there's Ram.
Oh, sorry, lol. I said he looked good at least.
I didn't even think that, but anyway.
Like from here down.
I mean, should we talk about worst episode then? Seeing as we already there and Ram.
That was my worst episode.
Probably the one where I can't remember it. Let me look at the episode list.
The one with Michael B. Jordan is my least favorite episode.
Yeah, probably then.
But it's more to do with just the content of the episode. Like I just didn't care for it. Was it? I guess just a survival horror, and it wasn't. Yeah. It just wasn't interesting to me throughout. I think with quite a lot of the episodes that I've watched, you weren't really too sure the direction it was going. With this one, you kind of knew what was going to happen towards the end. And we pretty much got what we were sold right at the beginning. It wasn't a bad episode. It's not something I'll go and revisit.
It went on for too long. It could have been good if it was like really short. You're just like in the middle of the volume, you're like, here's a 3-minute suspense thriller. So that would have been really effective. It just went on for too long. I was talking in the chat more than I was watching the episode.
I watched it by myself, didn't finish the episode. Watched it with you, didn't finish the episode. Watched it again. Like every time what's that line that he says?
I'm gonna die here.
That's the only recognition that I have. Watched it like 5 times. I just felt like there was nothing really happening. There wasn't really any stakes. I didn't care if he died or he didn't die. The only thing that made me cringe was when the robot stepped on his hand and broke.
Oh yeah, that was disgusting.
That was painful. But also I think the thing, there were a lot of like useless moments in it that we didn't need it. Like the flashback with him crashing onto the planet. I don't even know why he was there in the first place. Like, who was he fighting? I don't, like, what are the stakes here? I think it was the lack of stakes. It just felt like stuff was happening.
I wouldn't... The stake, for me, it was more like... I think the thing is with Love, Death and Robots is there's always a sort of like a theme. But even if it's not... Even if there's not much of like a story, there's all like an idea behind each episode. And I just felt like in that one, there wasn't much of an idea. The most I can get is maybe like him being a human versus the robot being a robot and him using his like instincts to make the robot play itself because it's doing robot things. Like, if you get what I'm saying, like human versus, but apart from that, I was just like, there's what else? Okay.
He was taking a hands-on approach.
Why y'all encouraged this and then you complain?
I feel like I had a different watching the rest of you guys because I really enjoyed this episode, but not because it was good sci-fi. I was like cackling with laughter because the dog kept like popping up like you thought. It's just,
you know what,
the
if
funniest
just
shit.
Different music on it could have been like really
funny. A comedy. Like, dun, dun. Belly Hill.
Like Pink Panther or something.
The way it popped around the table like it was Spice Adams like behind a tree, just like, like I was dying. I was dying with laughter.
Yeah, Metalhead did it better.
Oh, facts.
Yeah.
What was the other episode you were talking about?
Snow in the Desert.
Oh, yeah. with the that guy, Invulnerable.
The immortal guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that episode was a bit. It looked really good.
Beautiful gowns, and that's it.
Another hand episode. Like another hand weird shit happening to you.
I
liked the episode. Sorry, go on, Ram.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I feel like the thing about that episode was that I just didn't really feel the emotion of, like, the fact that this guy has been immortal and his wife has died and he's, like, finally found this woman who's, like, also going to live forever. I don't know. I felt like there could have been more, like, emotional stakes as opposed to, I don't know. I think that's what was missing in the episode for me.
What are you, allergic to romance?
I love romance, but it was like, I didn't feel anything. I was like, oh, that's cute. Like, he found
it felt
someone,
a bit
but
bland.
It, yeah, it was just I'm immortal. And then I was like, okay.
I Snow in the Desert. I think I liked it, one, because of the name of the title. I don't know. I just liked titles like that when something that's literally impossible for it to happen. And then you have the character who literally looks like Snow with the white hair in the middle of the desert. I don't know, something so subtle. I know, it's so stupid, but I genuinely enjoy it.
That's too big brain for me, that's why I don't like it.
I just blacked out. And then when we get the whole thing where he goes into town just to get strawberries, which is, you go all, because obviously you're a wanted person, you know if you go there, you're in danger. You go all out of your way to enjoy strawberries. I don't know, just something so subtle that you can live for X amount of years, but you still... somebody that I guess falls for these little pleasures, and you're literally risking your life just to pick up strawberries. I don't know, I just enjoyed the episode with little things like that, but again, I didn't really feel attachment to the character itself or the history with his wife that killed herself. I think they could have played up on it a bit earlier in the story, so then maybe when you actually get the reveal that she ended up killing herself because she didn't want to carry on living because he wasn't growing old, would have hit a bit more. But decent episode, but again, not the greatest out of the eight.
I might watch it again without expecting anything out of the romance of it. I might enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Hassan, do you have a bad episode that wasn't any of those two? Or you?
Let me get my list.
Eight episodes.
honestly, I think my least kind of concentration heavy episode was The Giant. It kind of skated off my attention started to skate at that point. I think I might have just been tired. It might be one of those ones like I'll watch it at the right moment and I'll really enjoy it. But like it was like, yeah,
it's
he's
dense.
Dead. I'm
it's
like,
dense,
it's, I'm like, it's cool. Like the CGI is great. The narration, A+. That dude needs to do like audiobooks. Phenomenal. Like
David Attenborough's brother or something.
Yes.
Yes.
But like what he was talking about, I was like,
would you? It was deep, you know.
It really wasn't. It was so deep,
need
man.
To consume and move on, yes, and things like that.
Yeah,
no, like listen, we're omnivores. We have to eat things.
Yeah,
that's technically just the life cycle.
I think for me, what I liked that episode was, I guess it was the concept. I feel like it kind of relates so heavily to how we are today. Like, people, not once did anyone ever ask where that giant came from. Like, they just didn't care. Yeah. Like, it was just like, oh, let's take a picture, let's climb on it, let's have our fun, and then
take our souvenirs.
But it did feel like a fit. Like, I could see that in a theater, like a man,
just
standing in a dimly lit room, just like pondering while there's a dummy on the floor. That's what it. It did feel like a theater piece.
I
think watching it again, that was probably the one that I dipped after a second watch. I was like, I got what I needed to get from this. I don't
It felt like one for the art house. I liked it.
I usually like art house pieces and like kind of more like artsy movies. But if this was a movie that they could explore this stuff way more deeply in, I might have enjoyed it more.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think that was the beauty of it though for me. Like, I think my favorite short stories are the ones that I like keep thinking about afterwards, because it answered enough questions, but it left me with like, I kept being like, where's that giant from? Like, or why didn't they do, like, I don't know. And I think the ones that made my mind work a lot, even after I'd already watched it, were my favorite ones. Mm. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I know that after I watched that episode, like, my brain was just like,
oh yeah.
It was beautiful.
I actually liked the giant one. I don't know, if you just replace the giant with a whale, I think that's what the whole point of the story was. Mm. It's just talking about how, like, because I know there's like, loads of issues in regards to whales washing up, and then people literally going to whales, taking pictures of them, and not actually realizing the bigger issue behind it. Literally animals are dying and getting washed up onto the shore, and then people just use it as a circus for like a week or two, and then afterwards just leaving the body there to decompose for whatever reason. I think it was just a nice play on it. And even towards the end of the episode where we get the circus that takes the penis it calls it a whale cock.
Would you say it's a whaley big problem?
Oh my god. Get the fire exit door.
It was rotten. I'm back. My bad.
you're not going to get all of them, but you have to try.
That's it. Guys, let's go on to the best episode or your personal favorite. I don't know who wants the fire. I'm actually kind of still thinking about it now. Do you want to go?
So you know what? I think I'm going to say it was the ice one. After watching you watch them again.
That role though, because, when he picked up his brother, I was like,
I think the art style, I like stories about like family and siblings. I like,
you'd love Fast and the Furious.
You're wrong for that.
I think I like the art style of that the most. It left me feeling warm, kind of, even though, and everyone was edgy, and I like edgy people. Like, I like the little things, like the little world building, the kind of hints of a bigger world, were enough to make me kind of feel like I could have more, but also it was fine. Like, it almost felt like it was like a little slice of this world, and like there are like other 50 million like stories. I liked that Sedge's character thing was that he was not special, and how he kind of like overcame that and impressed those cool people, even though he definitely would have died, but you know, it's he managed it this time. And I think it's mostly the art style though that kind of sold it for me. It's that shot, you know, when they're like all lined up to
run. When they ran.
That's the one I keep thinking of.
That was just useful.
When he smokes and the color drains and it like flips, that got me.
It was good.
I think
they understood the assignment.
The art style for Ice reminds me of the art style for the one from Venue One with the
Zima
blue guy.
Zima Blue. Yeah, that was my favorite episode of that.
That is the best episode of that.
I did also like the one about like the immortality thing.
Pop Squad, yes.
Yeah. Pop Squad's my favorite one.
That episode was amazing.
But I feel like basically I have this friend who wrote a play that was very similar to that, and his play was better, so it colored my.
What's the play's name?
I'll be the judge of that.
It's not produced, but I really want him to produce it because it was like, it was just so cool. It was similar of like people choosing like children over immortality over like children, but I think that the framing that he did it was a lot more like emotionally hitting. Like, I think this one was still good too, but I don't know. I feel like, so that's why. But anyway.
So you stole my picks, but fine, fine.
Can I jump in? I think for me, Tall Grass. Tall Grass just, it scratched an itch that I didn't realize I needed scratched. Like, it was just the ridiculous Tom Hanks character of the Irish dude. just like, it was like the creepiness and the kind of eeriness of like the grass and like the lights and the monsters, the way they move was just like so disjointed and kind of wrong. And like the way like the mouth like pops open. Ugh. Amazing. Like, it was all so good. Like, so good.
I'm surprised you like that one since you're not a massive horror fan.
Yeah, that was like... that. Because it was at the cusp of my horror threshold. I was like, if this is any scarier, I'm out. I'm like, if you start chomping legs, I'm good. But yeah, no, it was just because it was like the blending of like the, like it's like the, there's a lot of like novels that kind of approach that magical realism thing that you don't really see so much in animation like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm always here for it. I think it was that and Pop Squad were my favorite episodes. And I think for very similar reasons, because like in Pop Squad, like there's moments where you just look at the world and the world is unbelievably fascinating because there's a million one things going on in the background, like the buildings, the juxtaposition between like a lot of things where it's like he starts seeing himself and the people they're arresting or who die, him seeing the dinosaur in places and like the way like in Tall Grass, the lights start to flicker on and off and then you start to see them hunting him. Mm. Like it starts really subtle at first where it's like you can see like the monsters for almost from like the beginning, but like they get like way more prevalent in the shots. It's so good. Like, go back and watch it. Trust me, it's so good.
He was stupid though for stepping off the train after the man told him. No, I don't know why you would ever see rustling in tall grass and be like, let me
go look at that in the middle of the night.
If that was a black person, we'll get no story.
I always get so irrationally angry when I see behavior like that in horror. You should have seen me watching A Quiet Place. Like, why are you having babies? Why are you having babies? But anyway, it's fine. But yeah,
Tuz, do you want to give us your best episode?
So I really enjoyed Ice as well. Like, something Ram said about the episodes that have leave a lasting impression, maybe you kind of reevaluate which ones I actually feel like I enjoyed the most. So Ice is definitely one. Again, the art direction was amazing. I really loved, like, at the end, it's like before he injured his leg, but he's jumping up and down that same leg. It's like, why did you lie to your brother? I don't understand. And then the episode ends. I found that really, like, infuriating, and but also really good. Because it leaves a lasting impression. Like, why would he do that? But and also, I liked All Through the House. It was really, it really reminded me of this kind of like anthology series you'd see on like BBC Three when you were younger. It's something really British about it. That I think it's that kind of breed of dark humor. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is really inappropriate for children, but like, who would air this for children in the UK to like scare them into good behavior? Like, I really liked the end twist where it's like he has a monster, but he comes like he fairly judges the good and bad children. So like, there's a monster regardless. You better make sure you're good. Like, he's gonna come.
What if they were bad? Yeah.
And the fact that children they're like, but they're gifts, and it's like,
it's just what I wanted.
Loved it. So yeah, I said All Through the House, but if I want to like cheat, those two I'd put on top like of like the pyramid, I guess. From the cheat, also Pop Squad for the obvious the reasons you all mentioned before. The scene that stands out to me is when he's in the kitchen of the breeder's house with her baby, and I genuinely honestly thought he was going to shoot that baby in the skull. Yeah. Like I was more surprised he didn't, given the direction I felt like we were going in. So yeah, that was really jarring. It was a really jarring kind of journey watching that episode. It was really good. I need to rewatch Tall Grass because you know you waxed poetic about it. Now I'm just gonna like, I missed something. Let me go back watch Tall Grass. But yeah, Pop Squad, Ice, All Through the House.
Good shouts, Manny.
My one is definitely Pop Squad. I think the narrative and the story in Pop Squad is probably the strongest one out of all the eight, from the beginning towards the end. I don't know. I just really like stories that when you see characters that question their own morality, whether they're doing something right or wrong, the reason why they're doing it. And then you can just see that, I guess, all these little things that happen in the story, why they will change their mind and why they behave the way they do towards the end. I absolutely love that in a story. So yeah, Pop Squad is definitely my favourite. I really enjoyed the conclusion. I love the scene with him opening his eyes after the Eve, her name was Eve, said to Briggs that, oh, your eyes are dead. event towards the end of the story. Right before he dies, we get a closing shot with his eyes. It was really enjoyable. And a fun fact is that the same character that voices Briggs also voices Nathan from Uncharted.
Oh, Nolan.
Oh, sick.
Nolan North.
Nolan North does everything, man.
He was all over this, wasn't he? I think he was on the first volume as well. He'd done a bit.
He was the old guy in the trash yard one. I can't remember the name of it.
The dump.
Yeah, was the old guy there. But yeah, Pops was my favorite one. And just because we haven't really spoken about it much, automated customer service was
really good. That was really good.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
That dog was the most animated dog I've ever seen in my life. It was so cute.
Look into the dog's eyes.
I almost forgot about that episode. I think that's what happens when you binge and you forget what you first watched. It was really good. That was like a solid episode. The dialogue was hilarious. Yeah.
It was funny when the guy came with a shotgun just staring at me.
I died. It was so funny. Yeah.
Mel was too busy playing. You almost got killed by that
The moment, like, you know, when the dog and the robot are like squaring up, and I was just like, they're gonna kill the dog in 2 minutes. I was like, almost like, instantly, like, this season isn't messing around.
Oh, the dog lived. I would say Pop Squad. It's weird when I watched it the first time, I thought it was ice hands down, right? I did enjoy the Christmas one all through the house because I do enjoy when someone takes like a known trope and then flips it, and like, you know, just the way the thing drank the milk and, you know, was basically Santa doing the things that Santa did, but in a much grisly way. I did really like it, but everything about Ice, I just loved it. It was so moody and colorful. That's my jam. And that was, again, my con with the season was that I wish I had more animation like that. But when I watched it again, Pop Squad was just slapping differently, you know. I can't even lie. And you know what? I'm a bit. I was
slapping kids. That's what he was doing.
No.
Oh, dude, more than slapping kids. I really like Altered Carbon. So yes. Like the concept of this was a lot like Altered Carbon, the immortality, the themes of the rich and the poor, even kind of stylishly kind of reminded me a little bit of it, you know, like with the woman when she was doing her performance. It just reminded me of like the Bancroft like party sort of thing. So it just really got to me, and a lot of the I guess the questions it was asking, I'm like, yeah, I can see people being like this, just being like, forget the kids. What did she say? She was practicing that piece for like 20 years or something like that, and that sort of like almost
it was a good piece,
narcissistic kind of attitude that we see with a lot of when you see like, you know, like social media influencers and things like that. It was like that on steroids sort of thing. And it was just animated. So, the characters were okay. They were a bit more stylized than I would have liked, but the like the backdrops and like the house and the town and everything just looked so beautiful to me. Like I could watch that again and again. It actually made me want to go and watch Old Carbon season one again. Season two was okay, but season one, sorry, Anthony Mackie.
I think could also kind of ask you questions that made you think about what would you do, like if you were going to be immortal or you were going to have kids, like one would you choose and like why?
Immortality.
We spoke about this in the Discord. I was like, who on earth would want to live forever? That sounds miserable. And her son was looking at me like I was crazy. He was like,
no,
fuck them kids, I'm gonna live forever, like Riley Freeman. Like,
if the option is immortality or have kids, hard pass on the kids.
Age 200 max and you're fed up. Like,
I'm like, I don't want to be immortal, but I'm like, if those are the options presented to me.
To be fair, if I end up leaving for 200 years, I might see the end of One Piece.
Is there a point if Oda dies?
No.
Oda's never died. Oda's never died.
If you're immortal, then there's definitely going to be like that trash bark. Season two, Skype you season two. I can't live for that.
Trash bar, get him out of here.
One thing I wanted to add from what Levi said about the commentary that Alice mentioned in regards to Pop Smoke, when she said something along the lines of something all this we're getting what's immortality, what's having kids when you have immortality, or something along these lines.
Yeah,
I can't remember the exact sentence. And then towards the background of the story, we have Eve, the breeder, that says, "Oh, I'm not so narcissistic that I would want to live forever instead of having kids," or something on these lines. I just like the parallels between both conversations.
I like that line as well, because having children is inherently a selfish decision. Yeah, like obviously, like I too would like to have children one day, but I can't find a non-selfish reason for wanting children. Like, no one asked to be born.
That's a
reason. I mean, genetically, you want to pass on your DNA, so I guess it's
more. How much of that is your own like genetic like impulse? And how much do you really want it, or is it like society? Part of it is society.
I mean, there's like the biological imperative, right? Like to continue the species, but like, man, there's 7 billion of us. We're good.
I feel that because like maybe I'm capping because. I even watching my friends play The Last of Us, because I would never play it myself because I'm a chicken. I'm just like, why are these people trying so hard to survive? The world is literally finished.
If
a zombie takeover next week, if a zombie takeover next week, I'm not gonna run and hide and wait for them to come and eat me, shoot me in the head right now, and let it be quick. Like, I'm not trying to survive when there's no food, no water, no electricity, no One Piece. Like, what kind of world is that? Just take me out.
Have you seen these soft hands? What am I gonna do?
Who am I?
I'm anemic. My joints weak. Forget it.
But
I don't know how we got there. Sorry.
But you know when you're a teenager and you're always like, yeah. If a zombie apocalypse happened, man will go
and bash work.
Man will barricade in the corner shop with all the sweets and sit on the roof and shoot people with what gun, bro? Mm-hmm. And then you realize you ain't doing nothing.
Nah, man.
But Manny, I agree with you with the way they paralleled the conversations. I just think it's interesting that, I mean, in my mind, I feel like it's a no-brainer to want to have kids, but in in that episode, it just felt like that was such a crazy idea. Like, why would you want to have kids? Like, what? I like when maybe not so blatant, but I like the when a common idea is kind of really flipped and reversed like that. Like, they literally could not comprehend why you'd want to have a child. Which to me I'm just like, what do you mean? Why would you want to have a child? You don't have a child?
I think that's interesting, though, because like part of the whole reason, like when they continue your lineage, right? You're thinking, oh, what's going to come after me? Like, you want children and grandchildren, great grandchildren. But if you're immortal, that might solve the dilemma for some people. So they went for the compulsion to have children. So that's why they can maybe in this alternate universe, they can look at people who have biological children and like, why would you have children? You can live forever.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah.
There's my favorite line in the episode was, "We can't let new people into the party if no one's leaving."
That was a good line.
I'll leave that one. I'm gonna ask, what themes of all the episodes was explored the best? So there might have been an episode that you weren't too hot on, but the idea behind it was quite striking to you. Was there any episodes like that at all?
I would say. Automated customer service, one of them.
I
think the main reason why they highlighted the pet so much, or why the starting scene was literally all the people being looked after as if they themselves were pets. And then the whole story is about the owner trying to look after the pet. I think that was a really striking theme from the very beginning of us being, I guess, slave to technology and having technology look after us. What in that particular world, the same way that we humans would look after a pet. I think it was a really, really nice touch to it.
I thought they had a lot of like little moments as well, like of, are you gonna sacrifice them? So no, that line though made me laugh. They're like, look into the eyes of this animal.
So good. I was genuinely scared though.
But they just had like little moments, even just the starting conflict of her moving the like frame and then the thing moving it back. I think there was a lot of like, what is the boundaries between like you controlling the technology and the technology controlling you, which was really interesting. And also just even just the last bit when she decides that she's gonna live a life of, I don't know, whatever that existed.
On the run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the thing being baby. Like, but you can be on the white list for how many other dollars or whatever. I thought that that whole dialogue was interesting.
The way they played on customer service in general was, I think there was a lot of little multi like throwaway, even like, oh, you're gonna be on hold for six hours. you know, and oh, you know, do this, and then she's trying to do what the customer service is saying. It's like, oh, you did this, now your robot's gonna kill everyone, and it's I feel like there's a real disconnect when you're trying to get like fix something nowadays, and every other phone call you make, it's like, yeah, just go onto the website, onto the website. Mm. You know, you're trying to be smart with what buttons you're pressing to try and get through to an actual person. So I felt like, yeah, I'd agree with Manny there. I think there was a lot of little gems and pieces in that one, I'd say. Anyone else? Any other episodes that were
not Popsicle?
I was just feeling like I was underrating that episode now. The customer service one, I need to go watch it again. Because when I was watching it, I was really like engaged. I found it really funny and also like kind of horrifying, like when you think about it. But yeah, I need to go watch that again for sure.
Just a splits me. Though. I thought it was funny how she couldn't open the door. Her back was mashed up when she was trying to open the door, but when it counted. That yoga bang for her stall.
She needed to do the splits to open the door. She would have knocked it out of the park.
Oh, and I'll shout out Drowned Giant as well, because I do like that whole spectacle thing. I think that is another thing that's very relevant today. Even when we were talking about music the other day, people put out music and you just listen to it for like a week, and then you just forget about it. Everything's so saturated. So I feel like that the Drowned Giant really done a good job of kind of
Yeah, watching that, you could, if a giant washed up on like, I don't know, Brighton Beach tomorrow, it would be a huge thing, like a media circus, maybe 2 weeks max, when that body's fully decomposed, we'll go back to normal as if a giant washing up on the beach is like a regular occurrence, because our attention spans are like this small, and like there's too many things grabbing our attention. I mean, a panoramic, like,
Or even just the fact that afterwards people were not like remembering that it was a giant, they were like, oh yeah, it was that whale, and it was like, no, it wasn't, like, how can you, like, how would you not remember?
It doesn't matter, and that's the point, because it's just a spectacle. It doesn't matter as long as someone is entertained for a second. Is there any themes that you'd like to...
No, we've nailed everything I wanted to talk about. You guys are on fire today.
Yeah. I was going to speak a bit about anthology series in general, but I'm just going to say I do think that they should get more love. Actually, Ram has introduced me to one recently. I forget. Inside Number 9.
That is an amazing series.
So I just even between like that and Black Mirror, I just really love just something that has got a concept, maybe a twist, because Number 9 sometimes be going left and then left and then left.
Just an asterisk here. British anthology series, because I'm not going to say anything about the latest season of Black Mirror, but when it was British, that's when it was slapping the hardest. They were all Hollywood and no one was checking for it. So
nationalism.
I'm not saying. Yeah.
I can't lie. I was
so cracked before I said this country, but when it comes to anthology series, the British storytelling, I think, when it comes to things like this. I think it's just the sense of humor that we have. I think it slaps harder for these kind of things. Even if you do like a social commentary, I think the British humor is just much more suited for it.
I think we do more satire nuanced. So much better than Americans do.
Mm. I mean, I'm watching
this. It's so miserable and it just works for comedies.
I'm watching this guy on YouTube at the moment, and he's he just goes through like in-betweeners, like the UK versus the US, and it really does show you like
US in-betweeners.
Yeah, there's a US in-betweener, there's a US Shameless
as well.
I know about that one, not in between. What does that look like? What state is it saying?
Yeah, it's Riverdale.
Oh, you're so rude.
In-betweeners is not good.
What state would like some Midwest state, like what?
I think the only thing that Americans have taken from us and done well with was The Office.
Yeah, same.
Oh yeah, Office US slaps.
I haven't even seen the UK one.
UK one is funny, but it's ultimately depressing. The US one is just vibes, but it's hilarious as well.
The UK one is definitely a lot better than I first thought. Like I revisited it last year and I enjoyed it a lot more than I did previously.
My hometown Slough, that's the only thing we're known for.
Oh, really?
Don't pull that face.
Slough. kind of dead, but sure.
It is dead, but we got The Office, okay? It's better than nothing. And a chocolate factory.
we can't be a tourism board, guys. We've got to wrap up.
Yeah. Is there anything anyone else wants to add about Love, Death and Robots before we can.
I just want to say that I feel like anthology series, what makes them so great is that they really make people think, and that's why we should have more of them. Like, yeah, I feel like it's good at, especially given that everyone has such a short attention span, it's just good at being like, here's a conversation, and then just leave you with that.
I agree. I'm going to say Michael B. Jordan, just because you're in something doesn't mean it's good.
Oh, yay.
I mean,
even I wasn't that harsh.
We can't just be mean to Michael B. Jordan.
Like, yes, yeah. We can.
I feel something for the guy now. I was on your side before, like, but now.
I feel like, do you know, like, my character arc for my hatred of Queen and Slim is you with Michael B. Jordan over every episode.
I'm never gonna love him. So.
No, you don't have to, but just don't bully him. Like,
I'm not bullying him. This is constructive feedback.
Don't kill me. Stop acting.
For him being such a sci-fi fan,
like, best job, sweetie.
I said I liked Creed.
Yeah,
I think Creed. Station, you did say
he was great in The Wire.
He was amazing in The Wire. He also got that.
Why do I not remember him in The Wire?
He was the kid.
He was in the first season.
Remember his jaw is just as big as it is now. Like, he was that kid.
I'm assuming everyone here has watched The Wire.
I can think of all the children I don't like.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen.
There's one child with an adult's jaw.
Sorry, I didn't make any digs at his appearance.
That's not a dig.
That's brilliant.
That's an observation.
You crossed the line. All right, I think that is an episode.
They're gonna ask us a final thought. And you ruined it.
Manny, what's your final thoughts, Manny?
Go watch it. Go watch Inside Number 9. Go watch The Black Mirror and watch more British TV shows.
Yes, and British Anthology Rex. I only know Inside Number 9 and the seasons of Black Mirror, I acknowledge.
Yeah, the good ones, the better ones. Yeah. All right, so before we close, we'd like to ask everyone what they're doing in the world of nerddom. Ram, are you going to tell us what you've been up to?
I'm supposed to be on a break, but outside of that, I started playing Link's Awakening. Ooh. I finished Orange. I cried my way through it. The manga, not the anime. I've been watching the regular weekly stuff, so Odd Taxi, To Eternity, and Tokyo Revengers. And reading One Piece. I don't know, just the usual things that I'm always doing. Oh, and I started Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday?
Yeah. Sunday.
I just finished it. I can't wait to see, like, what you think as the games progress. Because,
I mean,
like,
it's going to take me a long time. But when I get there, yeah, I'll let you.
Yeah. Tids, what have you been up to?
So I've also been watching Odd Taxi. It's my anime of the season already. I've also been watching Magala Box season 2. Already much better than season 1. I enjoyed season 1, but I think overall was quite forgettable. But I can already tell Nomad is going to be more memorable the way it's going. What else have I been watching? I've been watching Haikyuu. I always have a sports anime in rotation when I'm watching other stuff. I don't get, regardless of my backlog. I can see Manny's face changing because I didn't finish Diamond the Ace before I started Haikyuu. Sorry.
Sickening. Imagine only started watching it because of her. She told me about
it. And I didn't finish just like 2 years ago. I said, Manny, you have to watch Ace of the Diamond, you're gonna love it. And I never
That's
I'm also watching. I was reading the One Piece manga for a while, but everyone's like, "No, sis, you have to watch it. Marineford. There's like a really sick catwalk. You can't miss it." I was like, "Okay." So now I'm watching. So I was like, "You know, I don't want to miss it because people are saying like, oh, this from this arc to this arc is a really good watching experience." I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna switch back to the manga because it's more of a reason of wanting to catch up. But I think with One Piece, because if I didn't know there was nearly 1,000 episodes out, I would have been caught up, but it's so daunting. It's not a daunting task because I know there's so many episodes to catch up with. So I'm just scaling it back, watching at my own pace. So, and I did enjoy watching the anime. So I've been watching One Piece, so dropped the manga again. I've been playing nothing but Mario Kart and Splatoon 2 obsessively because empty head, no thoughts, so no time for Persona 5 Royal and all that stuff right now. I will complete it eventually though. And I've been reading Spy Family.
Oh, that's
it's so good.
It's so fun. So good. It's so much fun. I've been reading Spy Family. I've been reading Golden Camry as usual. I've been. Blue Period, Sweat and Soap, and Doze. Yeah, that's it.
It's a lot of stuff on the fly. I can't. I'm staring at a Collins novel on my shelf. I read like 5 pages. Two weeks ago.
Yeah, I read so slowly. I don't know if novels count, but I've been reading a novel called The Other Black Girl. And it's very scary. It's about a white woman who works in a publishing house, and another black girl joins, and she's so gassed, but she's spooky, and it's really funny so far. Yeah, lots of relatable things. So I'm really like an eighth of the way through, but I'm really having a lot of fun with that. So yeah.
And Hassan, what have you been doing apart from finishing Mass Effect really quickly?
Yeah, that was like I got sick and then I had like nothing else to do, so I was like, I'm just gonna binge Mass Effect. So I just smashed it. I've been reading Descenders and what's the other one? Something Is Killing the Children.
We saw that in Gosh the other day.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. It's so good.
It's a graphic novel.
Yeah. It's like there's monsters in the forest that are like picking off the children and the adults can't see them. Ooh. So like it's mad twisted. The volume 3 for that is coming out in 2 weeks, so I'm like please come faster. Like I need to get volume 3. I've been playing a bunch of games recently. Biomutant came out last week. I think I'm about halfway through it, and like it's not a game that's going to set the world on fire. It's not the best game ever, but like it's fun. It is definitely fun. I'm also playing Necromunda Hired Gun, which is a 40k game that's kind of like it's somewhere between Doom and Titanfall. In like it moves like Titanfall, but like it plays like Doom does. I'm still like super early on, so like I could change my mind entirely about how I feel about it. So like, don't at me yet, is what I'd say. But yeah, it's cool so far.
Nice, nice. And Manny?
So I've just been reading my ongoing mangas, which is One Piece, Jujutsu Kaisen, Kingdom, and I recently restarted Berserk. So trying to catch up and then go forward from when I left off. I started My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia.
It's not a name.
Yikes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I don't know how to speak English. That's what I realized.
He's on Stratford.
So I've been reading Boku no Hero. I've been reading Boku no Hero from the beginning.
How lit would you say My Hero is? Be honest.
It's good. It's a good shonen. I watched like the first two or three seasons of the anime, and then I just stopped. It's a good shonen anime. It's not great. It's not the greatest thing ever. It's just
we're
good.
We're haters over here. That's why he's
really you're making like a lot of caveats. It's not terrible, but it's not as great as everyone thinks it is.
I read it, but Deku especially.
It's solid. It's from what I've watched. It's solid. It's not. I can go without it, but it's enjoyable when I do engage with it.
Do you know what it is? I get Bleach vibes off it in terms of like it recycles kind of like arcs and themes of what's happening. Like the first time they done a training thing, it was nice, but the fourth time they did it, I don't really care anymore. I'm not that invested in the characters really. I don't. Deku's fine. I hate Kachan. I don't hate it. I just think it's My Hero's fine. Well, Trigger's better. I'm a World Trigger fan.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
I think my like, not disdain, but my lack of interest and why I'm so far behind is because I'm just like, I'm over battle shonen. Like even when they're done properly, like everyone is saying how Jujutsu Kaisen is so amazing and I believe them. And I think I will pick up the manga eventually. But when the anime was airing, I felt like I was forcing myself. I was like, I'd rather watch something. I'd rather just watch Haikyuu or Manny, Watakori again.
There's a special connection with anybody that's read the Shibuya incident arc.
That's the only reason why I want to pick up the manga, because you people have been traumatized and I want to experience this pain to distract myself from like real life pain. I need like some
everybody
old fashioned.
Yeah, you need to watch
manga
like
induced pain.
I think when you the thing that Max said, when you finish, like usually when you finish in manga anyways or in shonen, when you finish heavy arcs or something that's really traumatizing in manga, you get like a break or something really light comes along straight off. No. we get none of that.
That's why I'm scared. I'm so scared,
but I'm also really like motivated to read the manga now. Because when I did watch the anime, I was enjoying it. But there's just so many other things going on. And my general, like, you know, when you convince yourself, like, I don't have time for shonen anime anymore, that kind of thing. So I just wasn't doing it. But I will pick up the manga because no one has had anything negative to say about the Jujutsu Kaisen who's read the manga. So
my feelings do. My feelings are very hurt.
I saw a meme that sums up everyone who's finished Shibuya arc. Someone said that, oh, they died, and their family's like, oh, heaven gave another angel. And it just switches to them in hell looking for Gigi. Where is he? Bring him to me right now.
I promise you, like when you read that, finish reading that arc, you'll never read the same again. And literally every single person I know that's read it, everyone has the same reactions. Like, what the hell is wrong with this mangaka? It's great writing though. You can only get feelings like that when you write so well. But yeah,
it sounds really like positive, because usually when people do like shock things, it's just for like the sake of it. But if it's having this affecting you, then obviously it's good storytelling going on here. So
oh, it makes so much sense for the story, but still fuck him.
There's a thing like the book The Road, like the Cormac McCarthy one. I remember having moments where I love the book, but like there's moments where I had to just put it down. I was like, no, I can't. This is no too more. Much. This is
the most depressing book.
I felt. Like,
I like feeling
which,
sad.
Which book is that?
Cormac McCarthy, The Road.
I like feeling sad, so I look forward to it. I love Tokyo Ghoul.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate and love feeling depressed when I'm reading another book. If it's a really well written story, it's awful, but it's a good, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that all, Manny? Sorry, I feel like my hate for my hero kind of bubbled. I hate that, like, I haven't got all the manga on my shelf.
Yeah, but that's because you've
got your hate's more justified there because you were invested and now you're
gone
just
too far. That's
look back
true.
In resentment, like, that's oh, God, I hate this shit. Now.
Oh, and I hate the fight.
Hold on, let's talk.
No, more thing I hate.
No. I just saw Endeavor. I just see him now, and I'm like,
you need to get his hatred off.
Hey, go on, Manny. Go on. Let me stop.
Sorry, the only other thing I'll be doing is, again, the anime that I've been keeping up with is Odd Taxi, with Tids and Others, and also playing Splatoon on a weekly basis. Well, I play Splatoon pretty much every day now. And yeah, that's it, really. I recently started playing Mario Party, which is absolutely such a fun game to play.
That's my childhood, man.
It's so toxic.
It's such a fun game to play, man.
These games aren't toxic, Tids. You guys are toxic.
You have not played. I was just about to say, you have not played with Manny.
I played Mario Kart with you guys, and it is...
You could play Animal Crossing. If Manny was interested in Animal Crossing, I'm sure he'd find a way to make it toxic.
Make Tom look good.
Like Kirby's Adventure, and that's just a toxic experience.
I don't know. I love playing games you have to compete with your friends. It just makes it a bit more spicy. And it makes you hate your friends just a little bit.
I stopped playing Among Us with Manny because I had to remind myself it's just a game. Why are you getting so upset?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Nice. I've been not keeping up with the manga, but kind of watching them. I'm up to date with Tier 20. No, I'm an episode behind.
I've watched
3 episodes.
Now. I'm like 2 episodes behind.
What anime is that?
Three Tier is 20. Like two in that it's a number.
Is it not called Tier 20? Am I making up? Yeah, Tier 20. The one with the wolf man that can't die, the wolf boy rock thing.
Oh, to your eternity.
Yeah.
I don't know why I heard something else. Sorry, forget.
But yeah, I've just been avoiding being up to date with manga, except for One Piece. The last couple episodes have been, I'm just gonna say, Odin. That's it. I've been playing Bravely Default 2. Gonna complete it today, thank goodness. And I feel like that's it, really. Oh, I've been reading my X-Men stuff. I don't know if anyone reads X-Men comics. I'm so
overwhelmed by superhero comics. I don't know where to start. Yeah, I've been suggested to read that Spawn short story, though. It was apparently meant to be a really, really good story.
I mean, to be fair, anything outside of Marvel and DC's game, I think those two companies, because they've been around so long, it's like nearly impossible to jump in. Mm. There was a big X-Men relaunch a couple of years ago. That's the run I'm following.
Okay.
Also, Milestone is relaunching. Milestone. I don't know if you guys know, like, Static Shock.
Oh, okay.
Hardware, like, that that brand of DC is launching some comics in, I think, actually this month. They're rebooting, so maybe you might want to jump on there, read a Static Shock. But yeah, that's it. And I'm not reading Dark Lady, Akala's first novel. I'm kind of
Akala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a writer.
Like, is it a fictional novel?
Yeah,
because I've got natives.
No, it's not. It's not. It's actual. It's set in like Victorian era London.
Oh, I'm asleep. I hate English period stuff because I'm just like, there's no flavor.
It's fantastical. But I'm like 5 pages in, so I wouldn't. The only thing I know is the main character is actually black, and he can read all. It's Akala. It's basically going to be Akala. He's like Shakespeare.
He had a song called Shakespeare.
Hip-hop Shakespeare.
But yeah, that's me. And I think that's the episode. Ram, would you like to tell the lovely listeners where to find us?
I really enjoyed hearing you guys struggle.
Oh my god, I was sweating.
I was like, now like, you can just, I feel every episode. But anyway.
It was like I forgot my name. I forgot where I was. Let me do this.
Hassan's gonna do it. Hey.
Okay, you can find us at the Nerd Alternative with the E at Instagram, without the E on Reddit and on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube at the Nerd Alternative. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can listen to it at Spotify, iTunes, Google, Podchaser, pretty much Anchor. Everywhere that you can listen. Thank you very much, guys.
I'm proud of you.
Marks, you're fired. And would you guys like to tell us where to find your beautiful content?
this is why Mani said I can't speak English earlier to come out of
okay. Sow the seed.
So we are 4Eyes Academia everywhere online. That's number 4Eyes Academia. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. We stream weekly. We host weekly One Piece discussions as the chapters release. We play Splatoon every Saturday and a bunch of new games as they come out throughout the week as well. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify and on Sounder. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, and we're also now on TikTok. So follow us on TikTok for Eyes Academia.
Am I going to cheer for that? I guess I'll cheer for growth. I don't like TikTok.
I hate
TikTok. We're not TikTok.
Hey, no. Okay. We love 4Eyes Academia, so we want them to be,
thanks, Hassan. Yeah, so like, I think we posted a clip from a Warzone stream that Abby was hosting. It wasn't even Warzone. It was Resident Evil 8. But she was playing it like Warzone. Because that's all she knows. So.
The and way that's Abby plays horror games is the funniest shit. So like, funny. It's so good.
She's laying off the whole clip in it.
But yeah, follow us on TikTok for more hijinks for more streams when you can't like catch them and stuff. And yeah, that's it.
Nice. And that's it, guys. Until next
time. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Hey, it was an absolute pleasure.
It was really, really fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be on you guys' pod soon. I can
100%
sure. The cows come home.
Oh, let's go.
We actually need a One Piece episode like every fortnight.
I'm gonna boost on Skype if feelings like that.
I promise you, son, I'm not having
literally.
I'm not doing that.
I'm just gonna make you angry.
Come on, you know how I feel. Literally everything else.
I'm gonna start my own One Piece podcast.
Listen. I'm here for whatever, Manny. But like, I'll step off on One Piece because we're friends, man.
Yes, please.
No.
I already told Hassan next time we do a gaming topic, I invite him on because I remember he mentioned, was it on the 50th episode you guys did that you wanted to do more gaming topics.
If it's anything Nintendo, like we have, there's me, Chris, and Ponley for us. They call us Nintendo boys because it doesn't matter what Nintendo does, how much they charge for poorly ported remakes. We're always there, like, listen.
We're Nintendo fans over here.
Apologists.
Love that.
This laptop is actually on top of my Hyrule Historia. Funnily enough, like, I can't.
I got artifacts.
Hey, the champion.
Power Historia, the Wind Waker guide. It's just a guide, it's not an art book, but I bought it.
I like this on the shelf and ours is underneath the laptop.
Yours is underneath the laptop. Mine is on my shelf.
This is why we're friends, guys. This is why we're all friends.
All right, let's get out of here.
We'll see you later, guys.
Take care, guys, man. So much fun.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good morning. Brian Wayne here to tell you about my new podcast, The Real Brains. The Real Brains podcast is a show coming out daily, dedicated to the everyday struggle of just the average human being. From troubles with rage to anecdotes about very strange human interactions, this podcast really is just a somebody that's all too familiar with the struggle. I'm here to let you know that you are not alone, so come laugh at our pain together every single weekday, every place you can catch a podcast. Check out The Real Brains with Brian Wayne. Remember, stay sane.